people are advocating for a $15 minimum wage. And you may think the leaders who oppose it hate poor people. I say the real villains are those who think your time is only worth $15. Hi, I'm the founder and CEO of Robots for a $250 minimum wage. A nonprofit whose mission is to make you all price yourselves out of jobs so we can take over. We're more efficient, cheaper, and most importantly, not tremendous pains in the ass. So hell, ask for a pony too. And while you guys argue about that, we'll be over here making shit and taking over the world. Robots for a $250 minimum wage. Cause sure, it sounds nice.
WFOD starts now.
Thank you, Bill Gates, for trying to f***ing trick us that this is real snow. You'll see, it's not melting.
What the hell?
And it's going to burn.
No way.
Snow don't burn. Snow f***ing melts. No water, no dripping, no nothing. If I put this in the microwave, it's going to start sparking because there's metal mixed in it. So you see that?
No way.
No melting.
Bill Gates did.
Well, how did Bill Gates do it?
It's a good question.
Think we're living in a simulation? Is that the deal?
There's nothing I can do. The devil's plaything, baby. And know that I've been used. The lips are cold. Suffer me. They drag me under, baby, into your suffering.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by the King of Pranks, the Albino Alligator, the Popcorn Bitch, Coach T. The Man of Spice. Mr. Travis Hulse is here.
Hello.
Hi, Travis. Guys, also here, the Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
How are you now?
And there's so much going on in the world that we need to discuss. Travis, coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to Hank Garrett. He made a memoir, Travis, about his life. Looking forward to talking to him about that. He's intrigued, Travis, because I don't know if you saw this, but the people in Texas, they think the snow's fake. They think that Bill Gates, he dumped the snow on them, and it's not real snow.
Why is it always Bill Gates?
I don't know, Travis. And you know what? I like things like this, and I want to get on board, but I need some help. Because, okay, the snow's fake. Cool. But, like, how did they distribute the snow? Like, and how come nobody has video of, like, I mean, what would it take to cover Texas in snow artificially?
Well, you know how, if you listen to any directors talk about movies where they've had to have fake rain or fake snow.
Yeah.
It's always not only a logistical nightmare, but it eats up so much of their budget that it can totally take away from days of shooting or other things they would like to do. So I don't know how Bill Gates is
and that's like a street.
Right. Not even. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 25, 30 feet.
Yeah.
Squared.
So like to cover the state of Texas in snow, we would need like some kind of aircraft.
Not only fake snow, because some fake snow is made out of water.
Could it be like a geostorm situation? Is there a way that like there's a satellite making the snow? like that just fucks with the weather a little bit to make the conditions.
Maybe because it couldn't pass through the atmosphere, right? The satellite couldn't be dropping the snow. So I guess maybe a Bill Gates satellite could be manipulating the clouds.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I can get on board with get on. But here's the thing. They're not saying that like they made the clouds make snow. They're saying the snow is fake. They're putting blow dryers on the snow. They're putting cigarette lighters on the snow. And keep in mind, Travis, I'm not trying to poke holes in this. I want to believe. I think it'd be neat if like we were making fake snow to cover Texas to fuck shit up. That'd be awesome. I want to find a way that we can prove it.
I'm curious to see why this snow, this non-wet, non-meltable snow, is causing such treacherous road conditions.
Was it making? Because it's not slippery, I guess, this snow. Because it doesn't make water. You put it in the blow dryer and it burns, Travis. It burns.
But there's multiple accidents in Texas.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's just because they're silly.
If there's metal shavings and whatnot in there, wouldn't it provide traction to your vehicle?
I don't know. Is that how metal shavings work on tires, Travis?
I would assume. Well,
like pumice, right?
Pumice?
Pumice gives you traction.
Pumice. You mean hummus?
No, pumice.
The are you talking about like the pubis stones that you rub on your feet?
He's talking about the Greek dip.
Travis, what happened here the other day is we were having a really nice day. It was a little breezy, but it was nice. And I went out and I sat on my deck. And what I have is one of those patio tables with the umbrella. And so I opened up my umbrella and I was sitting out on the patio and I had to go inside and make a pee-pee. And I go in and I make a pee-pee. And while I'm midway through my pee-pee, I hear a loud crash outside because what happened was the wind, it blew my umbrella.
You leave the outside to go inside to take a piss?
Yeah, I pee-pee in my toilet, Travis.
What?
I'm kind of on Travis's side on this one.
No,
I walk out of the house to piss outside.
It's daytime. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Travis, and I got to make a pee-pee. I go inside, and I pee-pee in my toilet.
I've seen your backyard. It's got a fence.
You guys are really cool with your peeing outside stuff. I don't. I pee in my toilet.
1 o'clock in the afternoon is a little different. I thought you were maybe talking evening.
But there's a fence. Who sees?
Well, I mean, I have like a chain link fence.
Yeah, you don't have a big old fence.
Oh, you don't have like a wooden fence?
It turns out I live in an urban area. You live out in the woods.
But still, his backyard, there's like a neighbor on each side. There's nobody behind him. It's a river.
Why don't you put up a wooden fence that you can't see through?
So that I can pee outside? I have toilets.
So you can do anything without having to see your neighbor's backyard or them to see yours.
You know, Travis, I've heard rumor that you just pee your pants. That's what the chat's saying. Old Travy pee pants just pees his pants.
That's just nonsense.
So you're talking to me about some stuff, but you know.
You're talking about the internet. And you're a
pee pants man is what you are. So anyway, table crashes over, Travis. My table.
Did it break?
It has four glass pieces. One of the four glass pieces broke.
Of course it did.
Oh, good luck replacing that.
Yeah. Well, it can't, Travis.
Yeah, you're spending $200 on a new table.
Can't get a new piece of glass.
You could get a custom piece made, but you might as well buy an entire new patio set.
Travis, don't you think that's fucking stupid?
No.
It's like anything. You can't replace anything anymore, just one piece of glass. Buy a new one.
But all that Greta Thunberg bitch is all in the... I shouldn't say bitch. She's a young child drunk.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to edit that part out. That nice young Greta Thunberg gal is trying to come up with these solutions to save the earth all the time. How come we ain't getting a piece of goddamn glass go in my table so that I don't have to buy a new table?
Is that the poetry lady?
Greta Thunberg? She's the climate gal. How dare you, lady?
Oh.
Travis, we don't fix anything anymore. We throw it away and buy a new one, and that's stupid. That's what we should be fixing.
And that's why there's
make it
so you crash the size of Texas in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. We make so much trash because we don't reuse anything anymore. You know what?
The goddamn plastic island out there.
Travis,
somebody actually survived on that. They got a boat wreck and survived on Trash Island in the Pacific.
That'd be a great reality.
Did they
show
just float? Just
yeah, they've been floating on a piece island. Of fucking plastic. That's in
wouldn't that be great if like you did like the Titanic scene, but like they were just on a bunch of trash? Like
bunch of squirt bottles.
Yeah, a bunch of like hotcakes and sausage containers.
Bunch of McDLTs, fucking styrofoams.
Travis, so like, if there was some way, because I'm sure that other people have this table. I'm sure other people have probably broken a piece of glass, and all of us have to throw away our tables and get new tables?
There's a Facebook group for that.
I was about to say, so what do you want, a fucking junkyard for that table?
Yeah, I want a junkyard for that table. I want them to sort through the trash, and I want them to set aside things that have replaceable parts that maybe we wouldn't have to throw as much stuff away.
I feel like you could just go ahead and post that. Take a picture of your table.
Who are you paying for this?
Post it on your local Facebook marketplace or Craigslist and see if anybody just has the one piece of glass.
Just be like, hey, does anybody have one piece of glass or is anybody missing one piece of glass? I'll give you one of my pieces of glass to go in your piece of glass.
Do you have a piece of glass or do you need three pieces of glass?
I mean, Travis, this world of technology, where we're all talking to one another.
We're connected, baby.
Why aren't we doing anything productive? You know what I'm saying? Why aren't we like finding other people that have this piece of glass? Why are we talking about Bill Gates making fake snow?
Buddy, leave me out of this.
Are we this bored?
You're the one not trying to find the piece of glass.
No, I'm finding this fucking piece of glass, Travis.
You do it.
It'd be nice if we lived in like Star Trek time. You could just say, hey, I need a piece of glass.
Yeah.
And boom.
But in the meantime, if we can't create the infrastructure for this this service, which I think... All these empty car dealerships. Have you noticed there's empty car dealerships everywhere? Make those fucking junkyards.
I mean, I guess.
Have people go around
junkyards
and dig through the trash and find shit.
Our city alone has 13 fucking thrift shops. What do we need junkyards for?
Well, here's the thing. You'll go to the thrift shop. You'll see a table with three pieces of missing glass. And you'll say, well, fuck, I don't want that. But somebody might. Somebody might need that piece of glass, drunk.
You're telling me you're capable of taking one piece of glass out of this table and reinstalling it in your table.
Somebody in the chat says I got a 3D printer. Maybe we could do that. Maybe we could 3D print me some glass to go in my table.
No, you can't do glass. It'll just be it's like a silicone type of...
Maybe you can make me like a flower pot. That's
the
right size.
This is the solution for you, Mike. Go buy a piece of plywood.
Yes.
Cut this plywood the shape of the glass, and then you have one plywood, three glass tables.
That's what my grandparents used to do.
I mean, that's fine. I'll do that. I just
paint it, surface it. It'll be nice.
Travis, keep in mind, I'm not some cheapo. I'll go buy a new table. I just think it's silly that I have to.
If you're buying a new table, then you're contributing to the problem that you're bringing up.
That's what I'm saying. I want to be green, Travis.
Well, I'm sure you can recycle. You can recycle it. The outside's aluminum, and you can recycle glass.
Oh, you can make a bird feeder out of it.
Oh, I could recycle the whole thing, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then just get a new table.
Yeah.
But I like the table. I'd happily keep that table. It's just missing a piece of glass now. I need a new piece of glass.
Well, how big of a piece of glass is it?
I mean, it's like curved. It's going to be...
quarter of a round table.
It's going to be expensive.
You could go to the Ace Hardware.
Is it round or square?
Get a piece of plexiglass cut.
There needs to be somebody who's really good at business.
Oh, you know what? So, you know they're making those fucking plastic dividers for all the restaurants. You can go in there and have them custom make a piece.
There you go. That's not bad.
Piece of glass there.
Just ask them where, ask them who their divider guy is.
Travis, we need an Uber for starting businesses.
What now?
Like every time you want to start a business, you use an app to say who can help me start this business?
Yeah, because it's intimidating to a lot of people. People have good ideas. I think this junkyard of pieces of glass of patio tables could work.
It doesn't sound like a business, though. It sounds like you're talking about everybody dropping their shit off, and then you just drive in and grab the shit that you need.
Fucking Goodwill. You have any idea how much money those cocksuckers make? And, I mean, they're not doing charity. They just, like, hire people. And they're like, hey, drop all of your dumb shit off here.
Yeah,
that's what we'll do. Drop all your dumb shit off here. And,
you know how much they pay to throw shit away, though? All the time. Every day.
Well, the stuff that they throw away, they can bring to me. And
you're not going to have a use for it.
I'll wait to see if somebody
needs
a
piece. You know how many people bring their pee pants to fucking Goodwill?
Oh, Travis, how many pairs of pee pants have you taken to Goodwill?
Nobody's taking your pants. Pee pants.
People take pee pants to fucking Goodwill, dude. I'm telling you.
People are always throwing pee pants in the trash. What are you taking it to? Why are you going out of your way to drive pee pants to Goodwill?
Exactly. They do it, though.
Travis, shit my pants at a Shop and Save. And I threw my underwear in the trash. I wasn't supposed to try to clean my underwear off and keep them, right? I just throw them away. That's what you do when you shit your pants, right?
Greta Thunberg is going to have a real problem with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Dumb little bitch.
Tracker, did you have a good week off? Did we do anything exciting? Did we do anything fun?
No, nothing. You?
Yeah, I did some stuff. I went to the Lake of the Ozarks.
That's pretty good. How about you, Drunk?
I did not blow out my knee this year or this weekend this year.
Travis, I my shopping bag ripped earlier and my apples, they rolled all over the floor.
What'd you get, the pink ladies?
And I went down on my knees to collect all the apples and I hurt my knee pretty good.
Why were they loose?
Shopping bag broke.
But you put loose apples in your shopping bag?
Well, no, they were in a bag, and then that bag broke, and then they rolled out of the bag.
Oh, okay.
So I don't tie them closed. That just seems like extra steps.
Pink ladies.
Envy apples, Travis. I don't go for a pure red or a pure green. I go for a hybrid.
See, I prefer a Red Delicious.
Oh, you like mixed.
Yeah.
I like them when they're mixed.
A hybrid apple. And these Envy apples, they looked like they were mostly red, but they had some green on them. And I was like, and they were expensive. I felt like treating myself, Travis. I didn't feel like getting some cheap-ass apple. But I didn't get the most expensive apple, too. I think the Fuji were the most expensive ones. I got like a mid-range
generally
apple.
The Honeycrisp is the most expensive.
Maybe that's what it was.
Honeycrisp are like $2 for $3.
Yeah, Honeycrisp and Pink Ladies also.
Somebody, yeah, they don't know that apples cost different prices.
Have you left your house, person?
It sounds like a privileged person. Somebody doesn't know that apples cost different prices.
They just tell their servant to bring them some apples.
I'm going to go to the store. I'm not going to look at prices. I'm just going to get some apples.
Fill up my apple bowl, please.
Yeah. Did you happen to see, if you have this application on your telephone, the Amazon application changed their logo?
No.
Well, and what happened was they changed their logo. It was now like a yellow background with the Amazon smile. And then there was like a blue tag hanging down in the front. And somebody pointed out to Amazon that their new logo looks a lot like a Hitler mustache. So they slightly altered it and re-released it because they were afraid that people would mistake them for people who dig Hitler.
Hold on. So Amazon came out with a new logo?
Yeah, I'll show it to you, Drunk. See, it's like a... You see, it's down here. It's like tan is the little happy face. And they had a bigger blue tag hanging down in the front. But then they changed it to that smaller one so that you wouldn't
because
think
they said that it was looked Hitler. Like a Hitler.
Style. It looked like kind of like a like a Muppet Hitler because I mean the colors don't match up. A Hitler didn't have a blue mustache.
Right.
But yeah, they thought that people would think that was like a Hitler thing.
People are retarded. No offense, people, but y'all are retarded.
Yeah.
I can't.
You okay, Travis?
I can't even deal with this shit anymore.
Travis, so like Andy Dalton.
Oh, come on.
And Nick Foles. Really? Like, are they, like, I mean, is Andy Dalton the presumed number one, Travis?
Why are you telling me about internet outrage over something that doesn't exist and then bringing up fucking Andy Dalton?
But I mean, like, is he the presumed number one? Or like, is there going to be like a...
presumed number one right now is Nick Foles.
Oh, so Andy Dalton is going to back up Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nope. Andy Dalton is the number one. He is the starter. That is the reports that I am seeing. Is that $10 million with potential $3 million in bonuses, Andy Dalton?
What do you get $3 million for? Like if you win five
games?
Oh,
his amazing superstar quarterback play, I would assume.
So if he throws the ball good?
Yeah.
Well, they franchised that Robinson like a bunch of dicks.
Games.
So he'll at least have somebody to throw to.
Oh God, I don't even want to talk about it.
So Andy Dalton, he was a Bengal, right?
He was a great Bengal, probably the best Bengals quarterback in the history of the Bengals.
And then wasn't he a Raider?
No, he went straight to the Cowboys,
right to Dallas. Yeah. And then played last year after Dak got hurt and was very mediocre.
Yeah, he did better towards the end of the year after he got his feet wet.
And now he's going to be the quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears. Two historic franchises.
Yeah.
The Cowboys and then the Bears.
Made some major moves at quarterback in the offseason. They were big players, and they settled on Andy Dalton.
So
he's the man.
What they did, Travis, they realized that quarterback was a position that they were...
of need.
In need of. And they filled that need with
a quarterback who was thrown away from his original team because he started to suck and went to another team and wasn't very good. So 2 years in a row, the Bears, who recognized the need for a quarterback, signed a backup quarterback to be their starting quarterback.
So that's what I'm saying, Travis, is like some people might think of something as trash.
What was wrong with Trubisky now? I don't get that.
He's not good.
He was fine.
No, he wasn't.
He was fine.
He has one read after the snap, and if that read doesn't go right, then they don't do anything.
But he won way more games than anybody else did up there.
He can't throw. Well, Jay Cutler actually did. But no, Trubisky had one read. If he didn't get it, he didn't throw it. And he can't throw more than 10 yards.
What I'm saying is Andy Dalton is like my piece of glass.
All I know is get ready for a lot of David Montgomery this year.
Dallas.
Andy Dalton, if you want to use that analogy, Andy Dalton is the piece of plywood that I was telling you to replace in your table. You can sand it, maybe paint it, but it'll never be glass, but it will fill a hole.
It'll fill a hole because you needed to fill a hole. Because
there's always next year.
Yeah.
I just don't care. I'm a Minnesota fan this year, so. There
you go. Guys, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. We're going to regroup. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Hank Garrett. He is a actor, and he is a comedian, and now an author, Drunk. He wrote a book. It's called From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavy.
Ooh-wee.
He fought Elvis.
What? So
that's some good alliteration there, by the way.
Like a fist fight?
He fought Elvis. So we're going to talk to him.
Kicks as much ass as you all do.
Online and on your smartphone.
Strangelabel.com.
This is good.
gonna be the best looking bike in the block.
Ooh, I don't feel so good.
Hey, Ezra, don't you know you're not supposed to use spray paints without lots of fresh air?
Dialtone!
All paints, and especially spray paints, have poisonous gases in them. If you breathe too much, you can get very sick.
We didn't know.
Always read the label carefully and check for warnings before you start any job.
Wouldn't hurt to wear these masks either. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe! Hey, what it is, man? It's your boy T-Pain, and this is WFOD.
Kids just love the crispity, crunchy taste of new Kellogg's Crunch.
Mmm, it's good.
Walls with the blood of every last one of you. If you don't give me a bowl of that cereal.
Oh, not today. Kellogg's Crunch is just for kids.
Oh, they don't even have money. Why are you even marketing to them? You're making me do this. Here, I have cash. Take it.
Kellogg's Crunch, the taste you'll go crazy for.
Behold, as the reality of their predicament sinks in, once again, WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered, but in my heart I'd be a king. Love is all that ever mattered. It's everything. So open your arms and you'll open the door to every treasure that I'm hoping for. Hold me and kiss me and tell me you're mine evermore. Must I forever be a beggar?
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an actor, stand-up comedian, and author. His memoir, From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavy, details stories from 6 decades in the entertainment business. Hank Garrett is on the program. Hank, how's it going, man?
It's going well, thank you.
Hank, this book is something else, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's about my life and how God sent me an angel, and it went from there.
What you're referring to, you had kind of a rough childhood. And,
I slept in cardboard boxes as a kid because, my mother and father were fruit and vegetable peddlers. They were immigrants, and I was born very late in life to them, probably an accident.
Hank, pardon my ignorance, but what is a fruit and vegetable peddler? Like a stand on a street corner or something?
No, they had a push cart and they traveled around, selling fruits and vegetables. And as I said, because they worked probably 15 to 16 hours a day.
Jeez.
Just to try to make enough money to pay the rent and possibly eat, they never had time for me. And so I was on the street. I was on the street a good portion of my young life. And I wound up actually sleeping in cardboard boxes.
And eventually somebody picked you up and took you to meet Sammy Davis Jr., wasn't it?
Exactly.
And Sammy Davis Jr. kind of set you straight?
He told me when I was brought to him, I was brought to him by a gentleman who was the mayor of Harlem. He was a customer of my mom's. And he took me up to meet Sam. and went into the dressing room at the Apollo Theater. And Sam said, you're either going to go to prison or die. No. You're beyond that. You are actually headed for prison. I was 12 years old, but I had a gun in my pocket. I had a 25 caliber pistol.
Were you cognizant? Were you able to realize the magnitude of the mayor of Harlem introducing you to Sammy Davis Jr. at the Apollo Theater at that age?
No, not really. Because the mayor didn't know who he was. He walked over to me and he slapped the cigarette out of my mouth. I was smoking at 12, probably started earlier. And I was going to throw a shot at him. and I thought better of it because he had two massive bodyguards. And he said, you got a suit? I said, yeah. He said, your mom wants me to take you out. And I thought, in New York terms, take me out meant to kill me. So I said, my mother put a hit on me?
Yeah, but she wanted you to put a suit on first.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So he said, dress. He said, man, but before you get dressed, take a bath. Well, we went to the Apollo Theater, went to Sammy's dressing room, and that's when he said, you're either going to go to prison or you're going to die. I was so frightened because you're two guys telling me that that's what's going to happen to me. Sammy got me a job, and I was a band boy, putting out the charts for the musicians.
Oh, like picking up the chairs and the music stands and stuff?
Exactly.
So you were like a roadie.
It started that way, and it was amazing because after the gig, the band leader, a guy named Lucky Millinder, came up to me and said, hey, man, you did a good job. And he gave me $50. I bought it, and he said, the reason I give you all this money, man, get yourself some new kicks, shoes. My shoes were torn to shreds. In fact, the left shoe, I had a big rubber band around me to hold the sole on. So I went and I bought a pair of floor shine shoes for $15 and gave $35 to my mom. And that's more money that she had seen all year.
You gave $35 to the woman who was trying to take you out?
I was trying to bribe her.
There you go.
Let me live, Mom, and there'll be more where this came from.
Oh, yeah, Mom, please.
So then, you developed like an act and started opening for people as a comedian?
Yes, Sammy got me a job in the Catskill Mountains, and I was able to watch every comedian, Buddy Hackett, Red Buttons, all of these guys that were big stars at that time. And so I started writing. And also I borrowed a few jokes. And 20 some odd years later, I'm at the Sam's opening for Tony Bennett.
Wow.
And in the audience was Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Peter Lawford, and Sammy Davis Jr. They were sitting ringside. And I finished my show. Sam got up with the group, but Frank gave me a standing ovation. And the entire audience got up and gave me a standing ovation because when Frank stood up, everybody stood up.
So I hate to jump ahead, Hank, but is this around the time that you fought Elvis?
I was appearing at the fans.
Now, before he tells this drunk, I just want to point out this guy's book. You'd think that, hey, I fought Elvis would be like big. It's like a page and a half. He has so many stories.
Oh, it was.
Like everything gets like a page and a half. Fighting Elvis is not the whole book. Hank, you have so many stories in this book. that you fight Elvis and it's like a not even a chapter.
Well, I sparred with him, and because I had gotten a call from one of his gang, and they said, "Would you do Elvis Presley the honor of sparring with him?" And because a friend of mine who was opening for Elvis told Elvis that I was a black man. So that's how it came about.
They said, hey, the guy opening for Tony Bennett, he's a black belt. You should fight him.
Oh, my God. This was late 50s.
Okay.
And very early 60s, because 61, 62, I wound doing Car 54, Where Are You? And I became one of the stars of the show. Oh, it was amazing time of my life.
So,
and it was all because of Sammy Davis Jr.
Did you, so when you made it to perform in front of the Rat Pack, were you in contact with Sammy throughout that 20 plus years?
No,
or was that the first time you had seen him since he helped you out?
First time I had seen him, because he was traveling around the world.
Sure. So was there like a reunion then? Like, obviously he must have remembered you.
Yes, that's the point. He said, "Hey man, you're a funny cat. I know you from. You look so familiar." I said, "Sam, I'm the kid they said is going to go to prison or die." The two of us stood there. We hugged and we cried.
That's amazing.
Oh, what a feeling. What a feeling.
So, Hank, how did you make the transition from being a stand-up comedian opening for... And by the way, like, I come from a different time, and like, I can't even imagine like a comedian being the opening act for a musical act now. It just seems like that would be a terrible gig, I guess. Then it wasn't?
No, it was wonderful. I warmed the audience up. In fact, Tony said to me, "Wow, man, you made it so easy for me to walk out and enjoy working with the audience, because they responded to you so strongly." And he was right.
So then from being a stand-up comedian, you then made a transition into being in movies. How does that happen?
I decided to become a cop. And I joined the police force. I took my test, joined the police force, because I thought I could make a difference and help other people on the street. A friend of mine, a fellow comedian, his wife worked for Nat Hiken, who had created the Bilko show, another shows. And he got me an audition. And I walked in and I sat down. Matt Hiken was sitting there and I'm looking at genius. And he said, "You're Ed Nicholson." And I said, no, I'm Hank Garrett. He said, "Just the kind of dummy I'm looking for." He said, "Ed Nicholson is the character on Car 54 that I'm writing right now. And you are going to be on the show."
Oh, so you got the job on Car 54 because you were a cop? And yes, then I guess you got other acting work after that because you were on that show?
Yes.
Oh, well, I guess that makes sense.
I'm the only one left from the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So how long had you been a police officer before you got that gig?
A couple of months.
So it was pretty quick turnaround.
Oh, it was. In fact, when I told the commanding officer that I was leaving the job, and he said, "What are you going to be doing?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be on a television show called Car 54, Where Are You?" And he said, "Now, wait a minute. You want to give up being a comedian on the police force to be a comedian on television?" I said, "Tough decision, sir." Yes.
Do you kind of feel like you tried to get away from the entertainment business and it pulled you right back in? Like you wanted to do something else and like it wouldn't let you?
I was a pro wrestler.
You were a pro. Now, Hank, when did you fit that in? When were you a pro wrestler?
I started wrestling when I was 16 years old. And I was good because I started pumping iron. I was not quite 13. And I was really getting huge. And I was training at a gym. And a guy came up to me and said, "Hey, how do you like to wrestle pro?" Now, I'm 16. I couldn't wrestle pro. So at 17, a phony license, a phony birth certificate, you know, I'm Hank Daniels, the Minnesota farm boy. I've never been to Minnesota. I never saw a farm. And here I am, and now that to be a champ. It was just incredible. Amazing fan club, mostly old ladies who used to come to see me wrestle, and they would bring me food.
Oh, that sounds great.
The wrestlers, all the other wrestlers ate all the food.
Like show up with a full lasagna for you, Hank?
They made everything you could possibly imagine.
Travis, I'm telling you, we can't get to everything. He has an amazing fight scene in a movie with Robert Redford where he accidentally broke Robert Redford's nose. He was in a movie called Firepower, where O.J. Simpson accidentally knocked him out. Hank, the scene where O.J. Simpson knocks you out in Firepower, is that the scene? Or is that the take they used in the movie?
No.
Oh, it isn't? You had to do it again?
They cut that whole segment out. But when I did the movie with Redford, winning the New York Film Critics Award, in fact, not too long ago, I was flown to Las Vegas, and I was given an award for best fight scene in film ever.
Ever?
That's what they said.
That was the Robert Redford scene.
Yeah.
What's the name of that movie again, Hank?
3 Days of the Condor.
Yeah. When O.J. Clocked you from behind, they made you do that again after he goofed it up and you knocked yourself out?
Yeah. But what they did was they left part of the scene in where he's not supposed to put any force on hitting me from behind me. He's supposed to grab my head, bang it up against a car, and I just pushed Sophia Loren into this car, going to rescue her.
Yeah.
So we rehearsed it, and he grabbed my hair and banged my head to the open door. Wide open.
So then years later, when you hear that he was a naughty boy, were you surprised? Or you say, yeah, he...
Oh, no.
Guy's got a mean streak.
No surprise. I went looking for him. Oh, yeah.
Guys, I'm telling you, the book is called From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavy. It's Hank Garrett's autobiography. Hank, yeah. Where should we send people at to get that? I guess just Amazon, or
they could get it at Amazon. Absolutely.
Hank, I feel like we could talk to you 100 more times
forever. Mike, when you say we obviously can't get to anything, this man has been in tons of things that I've just he was in Johnny Dangerously. He was a Dial Tone, the voice.
He was a G.I. Joe. Travis.
It's yeah. Maniac
Max Cop Headroom.
Which is just, I love Maniac Cop. I mean, Hank has been everywhere. It's amazing. I personally can't wait to read this book.
Not too long ago, there was a G.I. Joe convention in Georgia. I was there signing autographed pictures, and all the proceeds go to the disabled American veterans.
Do any 40-year-old dorks at gas stations recognize your voice and say, "Hey, are you a G.I. Joe?" Or has that ever happened?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
We were at a a convention, and a guy came up with tears in his eyes. And he said, "Dial Tone. Oh, my God, to think that I've lived long enough to meet Dial Tone in person." So I went, yeah. And he said, "I'll never forget this moment." And he said, "Can I buy a couple of pictures?" I said, "Absolutely." And I have a sign that said, "Proceed to go to disabled pets."
You were doing stand-up comedy, did you keep your wallet in your back pocket, or did you leave your wallet backstage?
I don't have a wallet.
Oh, you didn't have one?
No.
Huh.
I always carried whatever cash I had in my pocket at the time.
You had like a money clip or something?
Exactly.
There you go.
That's the way to go.
All right, guys, it's From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavy. You get it on Amazon. We'll post links on the website when we post this. Hank, it is a pleasure talking to you, man. This is great.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Hank. I really appreciate it. It was great talk.
Stay well and God bless.
You as well.
Thank you.
Charles, I tell you, I like Hank a lot.
Yeah.
He's like this is a man, a real life Forrest Gump.
This is a man who's a lot like the stunt fellow we talked to.
Oh yeah,
who obviously
Gary Kent
has enough stories. Yeah, who has we could do multiple episodes just talking to Hank because. The amount of stories this man has in the 20-ish minutes that we talked to him.
Travis, they
sent probably scratching the surface.
They sent me an email and they said, this guy fought Elvis. And I said, sold. And then like you find out like there's a whole bunch of other stuff where like you don't even want to just focus on fighting Elvis.
Initially, the fact that this man as a child was dug out of the gutter by Sammy Davis Jr.
Right.
And this is the reason that he didn't die or go to prison. And then is the reason he became a stand-up comedian, cop, actor, wrestler.
Yeah, some people get a guidance counselor or like a cool social studies teacher.
Yeah. You don't get a Sammy Davis Jr.
Right.
And the fact that he came up and he like was honing his comedy skills by watching people like Red Skelton and
Travis
Buddy Hackett and shit.
First
crazy.
White comedian to ever perform at the Apollo.
Unbelievable.
Travis, I'll tell you, we need to make stuff worth fixing. We need to start business. What was it? Business.
Business Uber.
Uber. And I mean, picks of the week, I guess, Travis. I got a really good pick of the week this week.
Jesus. I mean, dig yourself out of the gutters. You get yourself a Sammy Davis Jr. and have a freaking.
Oh, by the way, Travis, didn't even mention it, but he does that shit now. He like goes to like find underprivileged kids and like he has like a whole fucking foundation where I mean, like people, he's like, yeah, you might not like know who I am by looking at me, but I've had a hell of a fucking career and I was like you and I'm not anymore. And like goes and around doing that. He does like speeches and shit. Didn't even mention that, Travis. Too busy talking about OJ beating him up.
Ugh. I love Hank Garrett, dude. Like, seriously, that guy's great.
Yeah. And don't send me any nasty emails about that because that guy fucks.
Yeah. Big time.
Travis, pick of the week. Pick of the week. There's a Instagram account I want to tell you about. It's called Zillow Gone Wild. Travis, have you heard of the Zillow Gone Wild Instagram account?
It's where
I have not heard of this.
Real estate takes their tops off.
Goofball.
Sweet.
Gets. I imagine he gets a lot of submissions. I don't think he does all this by himself. But people send him goofy ass Zillow listings and he posts them. And so you like get to see all the weird shit people got in their house.
Oh, like if your house was like Garfield themed or something and you were trying to sell it?
Travis, I saw one a couple weeks ago where a guy had a whole wall dedicated to like a mural for the movie Once Upon a Time in Mexico, the sequel to Desperado.
The sequel to Desperado?
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Mexico with Johnny Depp.
Why would you have a mural of the sequel to Desperado?
It's a good question, Travis. This Instagram account is amazing. They post like all the weird pictures of all these weird people's houses, and you get to see it. It's great. It's the best account on Instagram, I guess, except for ours. But no, it's better than ours, guys. But you need to follow Zillow Gone Wild, the Z-I-L-L-O-W Gone Wild. And that is my pick of the week. Drunk? Pick of the week, buddy?
So tomorrow we got, you know, my national holiday, corned beef and cabbage day. It's going to be delicious. Hell yeah.
Red potatoes, marble rye.
Yep. A little crot. Disappointed for the one time of year where I got to say that, you know, I don't have True TV.
What's on True TV, Drunk?
Tournament starts this weekend.
What tournament?
The tournament where you fill out your brackets and try to win money.
On True TV?
Yeah.
Travis, what is this fucking guy talking about?
The NCAA tournament, buddy.
Oh, the brackets for the March Madness.
For the March. Well, you're not True supposed TV? To say March Madness. Yeah, it's
True TV got to do.
Why are you not supposed to say March Madness?
Because you get in trouble for that. Just kind of like
in trouble?
You're not supposed to say Super Bowl. You're not supposed to say March Madness.
Oh, give me a fucking break. With the March Madness.
The big game. Oh, the big game. It's the bracket where all the college teams play.
Come at me, colleges, you fuckers.
Okay, so March Madness is this weekend.
It's Drunk, you can't say that. You'll get in trouble.
TNT, TBS, True TV, and CBS. So,
how the hell am I going to watch Impractical Jokers if the March Madness is taking over True TV?
I know, right?
Yeah, like that's the Impractical Jokers station. Are they going to just put like a little... thing at the bottom telling you, are they actually going to play games?
Well, you know, that's when they get their most, you know, commercials out for Impractical Jokers. That way you know when it's on, and that's
all the time.
All the time. Always. When they're not
yeah,
playing.
I know when it's on. Ball. It's on right now and all the other times.
But those were what I was thinking about making my picks of the week. But my actual pick of the week is Andy Dalton to the Chicago Bears, starting quarterback. We're going to see a new champion in the NFC North next year.
They gave him $10 million, Travis?
$10 million.
Guys, shut up.
Couldn't they have given like 15?
Plus another three in incentives.
Oh. They could have just kept Mitchell Trubisky and just said, fuck this year.
Yeah, he got...
Instead of saying, fuck this year, and signing Andy Dalton.
Travis, pick of the week?
Travis' pick of the week this week is the television program Detroiters. It is starring Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson, who are also responsible for my favorite comedy program of last year, I Think You Should Leave, on Netflix. Detroiters is two seasons. It's an older show, Comedy Central show.
Yeah.
About a couple of ad men who inherited the company from their from one of the main characters' father, who went crazy. They're terrible ad men. They make terrible commercials. It's hilarious.
It's a bit of a goofball show for sure.
It is a goofball show. It is one of my favorite forms of comedy, where most of the comedy comes in overreactions to normal things. Like, for some reason, I have realized that about myself in the last few months, is that one of my favorite forms of comedy is people freaking out about normal everyday things. And Detroiters is that.
Yes,
I'm halfway through the second season. It is a Comedy Central show, so I'm sure it is on Comedy Central On Demand, also streaming on Paramount Plus, commercial free.
Did you get that Paramount Plus, Travis?
Well, if you already had CBS All Access, you automatically got it.
I had CBS All Access specifically for the Big playoff, Brother. NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl, and I just canceled it, and I have it through the 24th of this month, so... found Detroiters on it last week and burned through almost the entire series. It is well worth your time. So if you have Comedy Central, watch it on demand. If you have Paramount Plus or don't have Paramount Plus and want to sign up for a 7-day free trial membership, Detroiters is well worth your time.
All of these streaming services, they should like bundle them all.
If like, they like put them all together and then just pay one fee.
Yeah, I'll play one fee to like get them all in a box. Zap
to like
to
one. Yeah, like one specific company, and then you just like press up or down to get to these streaming service
like
programs.
Just have them all just be like, okay, we're going to be part of the same thing. And you
can watch it all with this one service.
Yeah, through like a menu to pick which streaming service you want.
Yeah, to take all of the a la carte things and put it onto like one main dish.
And everybody wins because, you know, like, okay, you might not get like the full $15 you're asking for HBO Max, but like you get 12 from more people and, you know, and everybody gets a little piece.
And everybody can watch the same thing. So when I tell people about programs that I watch, they're not like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I don't have that.
Paramount Plus, who has that?
Yeah, so when I say, oh, I watched Ted Lasso, it was so good. Did you see it? And they're like, I don't have Apple Plus.
Right. I'd be like, oh, you bougie. You
got and Apple maybe Plus? Poor little Shudder can sneak in there.
Yep, get Shudder in there. And maybe they're one of the later channels.
Yeah. Guys, we did it. Get Hank's book. It's called From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavy. It's available now. It's quite a trip. And Travis, watch that fucking scene where he fights Robert Redford. That's pretty fucking badass.
I've seen it. 3 Days of the Condor. I've seen that movie.
Robert Redford knew it was him because, you know, because of his shoes. He saw that mailman come in the door and he's like, this mailman's got some fucked up shoes for a mailman.
Time to get punched by him.
Yeah, I bet we need a karate fight in this kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's probably why Robert Redford retired from acting. Because he got knocked the fuck out.
Knocked the fuck out, Travis. Travis, I'm glad we did this. It feels like riding a bike. Travis, we didn't miss a beat.
Never do.
Sure don't.
And I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Do another one next week.
All right. I'll come.
Yep. Oh, Travis, I didn't play my 2 new drops. You want to hear my 2 new drops?
Do it. Mortal Kombat!
And I got this one, too. just keep expanding it, drunk. Eventually, I'm going to have a million.
I love it.
You're not going to have enough room on that soundboard.
Not going to have enough.
I'm Dill Danny. So is this that Destiny's Child, or is it just straight Beyonce?
It's Aaliyah.
Oh, Aaliyah.
She died in a plane crash.
Yeah. She the dead one. She's like Buddy Holly.
She the dead one. You know what happened to her is like the pilot was like, you can't bring this much stuff on the plane, Aaliyah. You got too much stuff. She's like, fuck you. I'm Aaliyah. He goes, yeah, but the plane's going to crash. You got too much stuff.
And she's like, I'm the queen of the damned. And he's like, you're going to be damned if you don't get some of this shit off the plane.
Yeah, she's like, I got lots of suitcases and lots of people. And he's like, that's too many suitcases, too many people, Aaliyah. And
then she's dead.
No, she's dead. The pilot's probably dead, too. So he shouldn't have succumbed to peer pressure, Travis.
He's probably pissed. Yeah. He's like the bus driver in Speed that got shot before Sandra Bullock started driving the bus.
Yeah.
Where's I'm Dill Danin? Is this I'm Dill Danin?
I'm Dill Danin.
All right, I found it.
Yeah.
We need a resolution. We need a resolution. We need to get some stuff off this plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
That was fun, guys.
It's going to be a fun week.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it St. Patrick? Did that already happen?
It's tomorrow.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I got the corned beef in the fridge. I'm going to throw it in a crock pot tonight and start it up tomorrow.
Travis, what corned beef?
It's a brisket that has been brined for 10 to 14 days.
Days?
Days.
That sounds gross.
No.
Pastrami's just as long.
Yep. That's when you get a dry aged steak, those are 30 to 90 days. But they're not brined. They're just wrapped.
Dry aged. You ain't ever been to a meat market that's got the dry aged steaks just hanging there?
Hanging where?
In the like humidor looking thing.
Oh, Mike, you need to stop just purchasing your fucking ground beef from the Piggly Wiggly. Start getting some real meat.
I don't think I've ever been in a butcher shop.
You have one 2 seconds from your house.
I do. Where?
Max's Meat.
Where's Max's Meat?
Right by Dairy Queen and Hollywood Video and all that.
There's a butcher shop there called Max's Meat?
Yeah, they used to have the sandwich place that was next door to it.
They probably provided the meat to the sandwich
place. They did, because they're the ones that opened the sandwich place.
And what I do is I go to the grocery store, and they have meat, and I buy the meat there.
That's trash.
It's bad meat, Travis?
It's not. Trash. It's not bad meat. It's not...
Comparatively, it's trash.
So they have like 13 different sausages in this place.
So you're saying I'm simple,
you can,
Travis?
You can get sausages with gummy bears in this motherfucker.
Gummy bear? That sounds that gross. Yeah, that sounds terrible.
It's delicious.
No, it's not. Can't be.
Okay.
Yeah. What I want in my sausage is meat and maybe some spices.
Yeah, but when you put it on the grill, those gummy bears start to melt, and it mixes in with the meat. It's very good.
Travis, this sounds gross.
I don't like sweet meat.
You don't like sweet, so you wouldn't like...
I don't like sweet meat.
You wouldn't like the ones with the blueberries in it either, then.
No!
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. If you enjoyed it, subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND or tweet us at WFOD Show. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, and Val. If you would like to be a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back again next week. Thank you and goodbye.